Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I want to thank you this morning that, God, in spite of everything, you are amazing. And we thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. We ask you, Lord, that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So I've been talking on the series of our identity in Christ Jesus. And if you've been here the past 2 weeks or you've not been here, you can go to our website. And all our messages are on our website, including my lovely voice as well. So you can hear me as I preach on the website too. So you can't miss anything if you have missed any Sunday. And I would encourage you to do that because there is a lot of an identity crisis that is happening in our society. And the reason why, I think the Holy Spirit just led me to talk about our identity is because we kind of know it, but we don't practice it. We don't live by it. And we often forget who we are. Why? Because we are so focused on looking at the world system and what the world system tells us is based on fashion. It's based on how you look. It's based on who you are, what you can do. It's based on everything else other than what Jesus has to say about you in the Word of God. And so, if we are not careful, we will listen to the wrong voice. People today, especially young people, are confused about who they are. Not only young people, but also adults are confused about who they are. And you and I, we know that there is a big thing going on about gender identity. There's a huge thing going on about gender identity. And if you switched on the news, you would know that in Birmingham, there are big protests going on because kids in primary school, young kids are being taught things that they feel are not relevant for their age. And so we see there's a shift in what is being done with our children today. It's come to a stage where if we do not teach our kids, and if we do not show them what the Word of God shows them, and if we do not tell them how God sees them, what will happen? The world system will speak to them. Now, we all know that you're either a male or a female. I cannot understand how I can suddenly tell myself, I'm not a man. I'm nothing, actually. I'm just something. God has given us identity. God has given us His image. He's created us in His image. He's created us in His likeness. Now, it is not for us to dislike people like that. That's not what I'm saying. But it is for us to pray that God will bring a revelation of who they really are and in their identity. It's not for us to hate such people because we're not called to do that. We are called to love people. At the same time, we can pray that God will bring a revelation because only God can change the heart of man. Only God can change who we really are. God has declared us holy, justified, sanctified, made holy, and has not condemned us. That's what I spoke last week. You and I have been accepted by Jesus Christ. In spite of everything that we do, and I'm so thankful to God that He accepts me the way I am. Because I'm not perfect. And I'm journeying with God every day, and often it's a battle. How many know that? Living the Christian life is not an easy road to take. It is hard when you're walking the narrow road. It's hard when you're walking in holiness and when you're walking in righteousness before God. It is hard, but it is worth it because God has promised to be with us even to the end of the world. And so it's a privilege for us to be able to walk this journey with Jesus. Today in our society, there's a breakdown in moral ideas and ideologies. There's spiritual breakdown. People don't know what their spirituality is. Their standards are being lost. Values are being gradually disintegrated in society. You see a lot of humanism coming to play, a lot of secularism, people saying there is no God. You know, you just be the best you are. You are God. You know, you should know what you should be doing. And so all these things are bombarding our society today. And this thing about free expression, you know, where, you know, you can live the life you like, you can live the way you want, you know, you can do whatever you want, you can say whatever you want. With all of that, what they don't say is there are consequences to everything that you do. Said or not said, done, not done. There are consequences to everything that we do. And sadly, that's even creeping into our churches today, but not here. Because we are well aware of the schemes of the enemy. But sadly, churches are now gradually polarizing themselves to these secular ideas and humanistic ideas, which is sad. But as believers, as God's chosen people, why in 1 Peter 2:9 says, "For you are a chosen generation." You've been chosen. "A royal priesthood." Tell your neighbor, you're royalty. A royal priesthood, not just summa, not just, I was saying summa, but that means in Tamil, not just anything. You are priesthood. You are the priesthood of God. Last time I said you are a saint of God, a royal priesthood. Not only that, you are a holy nation. You are God's special, chosen, anointed people. Hallelujah. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. And God has called us to live lives that are holy and that are righteous, that are separated unto Him, because our lives should reflect the Father heart of God. Our lives must reflect the love of Jesus. Our schools need a touch from Jesus. Our kids need a touch from Jesus. People with gender disparity or dysphoria, whatever you might call it, they need a touch from Jesus. And you and I, we have to pray. It's our duty to pray for people who are confused today, so that God can reach out to them. We don't want to ostracize people. We want to pray that God will draw them into His kingdom. Why? Because God still loves them. You think, yeah, really? Yeah, He still loves them, in spite of what they do. If God can love us, He can love them too. We are nothing any more special other than we have the love of God in us, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. So we have a responsibility, that's the word I was looking for, to pray, to teach our children God's design and God's purpose for our children in their lives. So here's my first point. Let's look at Psalm 139. How many have looked at Psalm 139? It's a very familiar psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. If you haven't read Psalm 139, I would encourage you to read that whole psalm, study it, meditate upon it. And when I was preparing for this, the scripture that came up was this, Psalm 139, and verses 13 to 16. And the first thing that I want to point out there is God knit you and put you together. God knit you and put you together. It says this: "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb." You put everything together, all the delicate parts together, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. David here had a revelation of how intricately and carefully God the Father had made him. He had a revelation of that. He recognized that God knit him together in his mother's womb. Isn't it a miracle when you look at how life is formed? Aren't you amazed? The way that a human being is formed, it's amazing. Here comes the sperm here and attaches itself to the egg. And then a whole process takes place, doesn't it? Amazingly. And amazingly, the egg then moves into the fallopian tube. And amazingly, it starts to multiply, starts to divide. And going back to my study in biology and zoology and all this sort of thing, I remember the words mitosis and meiosis. Through a process of regeneration, multiplication of cells, an amazing human being is there, is born. That's amazing. And every detail of that human being is already there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we kind of look at it and think, oh yeah, okay, you know. But if you think about it, David actually recognized this. And he said, and he thought, wow, God, you knit me together. See, when you knit something, how many have done knitting? Good, okay. So when you knit something, what do? You bring several fibers together to form an intricate network, correct? Or a pattern that gives form, that gives shape, and that gives strength. A piece of wool or string of wool on its own is very fragile. You can just snap it. But when you knit so many bits of string of wool together, there comes form, there comes shape, and there comes strength. And I think when David realized, he realized how intricately that, you know, you and I have been made, that we have been knit together, we don't fall apart like jelly. You know, we are so, our bodies are so uniformly connected. There is a positive, there is a negative. There are so many systems in our body that function. Every part of it has been carefully thought by God when He made us in His likeness and in His image. God gave us, put in a lot of thought when He made you and He fashioned you, even before you knew it, in your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? See, Job, in Job chapter 10 and verse 11, he recognizes when he said this, God, you clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. Hallelujah. God told Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I think some of us here need to hear that message again that Jeremiah the prophet received from God. He said, before I formed you, before I formed you, I knew you. I believe God is saying to somebody, before I formed you, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated or dedicated you. I separated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Did Jeremiah know that? He didn't. When he was born, did he know that? He didn't. But God had already prophesied over Jeremiah and said, I have made you a prophet to the nation. I wonder how many of us sitting here where God Himself has prophesied into our lives saying, I have made you a woman that will bring the blessing of God. A woman will bring the word of God. I have made you a prophet. I have made you a mighty man or a woman of God. I've already designed it. I've already purposed it in my heart and it is coming to pass. How many of us are carrying, you know, God's a mandate in our lives, God's power in our lives that we don't even realize it because the fulfillment of time hasn't come yet, but we are carrying something in our spirit that God is saying, I have already put it in you. And the moment you click and the moment you come to a place of recognizing in the right place at the right time, you know, it's like the two wires, two positive and, you know, two electrical wires coming together and suddenly you get a spark. And I believe God is waiting for us to connect and to be in the right place at the right time and come to a place where we understand these things, that at that time God will just click, it'll come together, and we will see the fulfillment of God's plan in our lives. Now the question is this: are we willing to stand our ground and are willing to stay in a place of faith, believing that God will bring to pass whatever He said? That's the test. Why? Because we have a chap called Satan who does not want us to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God. If we didn't have him, we'd be all, wow, singing hallelujah every day. You know, we will be 24/7, you know, just doing amazing things in the kingdom of God. But there is this fellow called the devil who prevents us from, who stops us, who discourages us, who does not want us to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. So what does he do? He brings every other distraction into our lives. And sadly, what we do is we fail to recognize those distractions and we fall after those things. But remember this, God has already planned your life. It's already there. Hallelujah. You know, you have heard people say this: my parents didn't plan me. I was an accident no one expected. How many have heard people say that? And many often people use this as an excuse for not accepting more responsibility in life, claiming that they are accidents who came into the world by mistake and aren't even supposed to be here. Well, here's what I want to tell you, that even though we may have been a surprise to our parents, I know I was, because I was born 11 years after my brother, we were not a surprise to God. You are not a surprise to God. To your parents, you may have been a surprise, but not to God. The Bible teaches that long before you and I were ever conceived in our mother's womb, God already knew us and was calling us to be His children with a purpose, something to fulfill, a mandate in our lives to fulfill in this world. You and I, we have purpose. You and I have a destiny in God. Hallelujah. Because we have heard people say this: I was not expected, I was an accident. There are no accidents in God. God has purposed for you to be here on planet Earth. God has purposed for you to be sitting here at the Lighthouse Church. It's by no accident that you are here. God's planted you in this house for purpose, for destiny, to fulfill God's plan and what God has for you. God brought me here with a plan and a purpose to fulfill His desire for this house. But my job had to be to stand in faith, believing that God, you will bring to pass whatever you promised for this house. Because I believe God's word never fails. Amen. Verse 14 of Psalm 139 says this: thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I like that. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. And how well I know it. Oh, wow. I'm not a doctor. I see doctors every day. But if you look at the human body, I think it's an amazing, amazing bit of construction there, isn't it? You know, you look at your brain, wow, you don't think about it. If you have no brain, you're finished. Think about what your brain does. Coordinates everything. You know, my movement, my speaking, my eyes, you know, my circulatory system, my muscles, you know, what I see, Everything is controlled here in my brain. Imagine that. Could it be evolution? Rubbish. Yeah, complex, amazing, awesome brain. Can it just evolve? Coordination. People who know, I work with people I work with a drug that should prevent people having stroke. And stroke is something that happens in the brain. You get a bleed or you get a clot and it occludes or blocks a part of your brain. And a result of that, it affects that area of the body that is connected to the brain. So if you have a clot on this side, it affects your right side. If you have a clot on the right side, it affects your left side. If you have one in the middle, both. It's a terrible thing to have because it completely debilitates you. That's how amazing our brain is. Think about that. Think about your lungs. What happens in our lungs? You know, we take it for granted, we breathe. We're just breathing, aren't we? We all breathe, else you'll be dead. But an amazing exchange happens in our lungs. All the carbon dioxide that the blood is producing is cleaned out, is taken out of the system through our breath, and in comes what? Oxygen, which oxygenates the blood. I'm just explaining this because for us to understand, when David said that, you know, when he said, I'm wonderfully complex. I'm trying to bring home that word, wonderfully complex. Workmanship, amazing and marvelous. Think about our circulatory system. We have about 5 to 6 liters of blood that's constantly moving around. We have a heart that keeps pumping all the time without our knowing. We have bone structures. I was reading up some of this. It says we have 206 bones. We have muscles, 650. We have skin. Imagine us without skin. I mean, God thought of our skin. Can you imagine that? To cover us. Hallelujah. That's why David said, your workmanship, God, is so marvelous. I cannot even comprehend it. We were made amazingly. We function amazingly. And our body has been designed to look after itself. Did you know that? I know we take medicines. I said, was it drugs? We take prescribed medicines, but it only masks the symptoms. The body has the ability to heal itself. Hallelujah. To reproduce the cells itself. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, the more I read, the more I see how amazingly complex and marvelous we are, the more the whole theory of evolution just... I just think, how on earth can people even believe in something like that when they look at how the complexity of God's creation? Tell your neighbor, you are an amazing workmanship of God. Verse 15 says this, you were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. In other words, not even our parents knew when you and I were being formed, but God knew. How long does it take for a woman to know she's pregnant? I don't know, ladies. When do you know? You never know, you know, at the time you're having sex, do you? Oh, I'm pregnant now. Do you know then? No. How many weeks does it take to know? Huh? 2? Okay, good. God knew you before that. Before you knew that you were pregnant. You matter to God. Hallelujah. You are more magnificent than the sun, the moon, the ocean, the universe, and all that we see and has been created by God. You and I are more magnificent. God has designed us so beautifully. You are a designer. You are a designer person. You know, we all go for designer stuff, don't we? We like a bit of Gucci. Well, you and I, we go to designer, you know, we like designers. I mean, they're very expensive, aren't they? Why? Because there is value in it. That's what they charge. They charge, you pay 10 times more. When you buy a handbag, you know, that has a value. You pay 10 times more. But people do. Because there's something about that. The authenticity about that. Some value about that. It's called a designer item. You and I, God's put His value, His seal, His mark on us, and you and I are designer individuals. There is no duplicate Visu. There is no duplicate Alia. There is no duplicate Simon. There is no duplicate of me. God had designed me the way I am. There is only one of me. There is only one of you. You are a designer individual. Walk with your head up high. Don't walk with pride. But walk with your head up high and say, hey, I'm a designer. I've been designed by God. I've been created by God. God's put His seal in me. God's put His spirit in me. I have been created in the likeness of God. I've been created in the image of God. God put His seal on my life. God has validated me. God has given me even a thumbprint that is different to every other person on this earth. God has put value into my life because I matter to Him. Amen. You matter to God. Verse 16 says this. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Isn't that amazing? You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. Hallelujah. God designed you. Was there? He was there when you were made and had already put a plan in place for your life before you took your first breath. Wow. You are no accident, no mistake. God had you in His mind and in His heart before you took a breath. When a baby comes out, what do people look for? It's the baby crying, correct? You know, what do? They hold the baby. Do they do that still? I don't know if they do that now. But I remember, they hold the baby upside down, correct? Why? Because they want a sound, correct? They want that baby to breathe, correct? And what does God say here? He says, I had you in mind before you took that breath. Hallelujah. I often pray this. I said, Lord, I want everything you have planned in your book. And every thought that you have thought about me to come to pass in your time. That's my prayer. I say, God, I know you already have written it out. You know, it's like a script. It's already there. God's already laid it out. But it is my responsibility to say, God, I want what you have already laid out for me. It's like, you know, I come with a whole lot of gifts and I say, I have all these gifts for you, and you still keep sitting there looking at the gifts and doing nothing. Till somebody says, I want your gift. I say, okay, here you can have it. And I think God is a similar thing. Everything is there for us, but you and I have got to want it. We've got to say, God, I want what you have already designed and purposed for me. It's already there. All you need to do is tap into it and say, God, I want it. Whenever we pray over our children, that's what we have prayed over them. That God, they will tap into. They will have that design, that purpose. They will have everything that's already been written. Whether it comes to their university or their schooling, you know, their university or their marriage or, you know, their homes or whatever, or their businesses or their destinies or anything and everything. God, it's already there. It is framed in God's heart, in God's mind. It's already there like a beautiful picture. But we have got to see it. And we got to declare it and say, God, I want to see what you have designed for me, what you have purposed for me. I want that to come to pass, not my cleverness or what I think should come to pass, or my things that I do in my stupidity, that I do crazy stuff and then I regret later. But God, I want your purposes to be accomplished in my life. I want what you have planned for me. That should be our heart's cry. And I tell you, the more we concentrate on that, the more we declare that and say, God, I want your plan to come to pass in my life, the more we will see it coming to pass over our lives. And the more we declare that over our children, parents, are you listening? The more you declare the plan and the purpose of God to come over your children, the more they will walk in the plan and the purpose of God. We have done that with our three children, and you can see the fruit of that, that they are walking in the plan and the purpose of God. That's because we have done something about taking what God has given and applying it in our lives. And it works. It works. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God, and there's power in our words. Amen. And when we align the two, awesome things happen. So don't be discouraged this morning. If you have children this morning, let them hear. Somebody, when we met recently, said, oh, I just silently pray. I said, no. No silently praying over your children. You declare what they need. You declare who they are in Christ. You speak, they hear, they listen, they know. Not silently, they hear you. What happens when you keep hearing and hearing? Faith builds up. Don't whisper, speak loudly. Because the children need to hear that you are speaking the word of God into their lives. Who else can say of us, I knew you before you were conceived? I knew you in your mother's womb, and I know you, and I have scheduled every day of your life since before you took your first breath. Hallelujah. That is exactly what we need. It's our Father. We need him. Not too much, nor or too little. We need him. Without Jesus in our lives, we can never be a whole person. We need him. We need Jesus, who made us, who made you, who made me, to be in you and to make us complete in him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He makes us complete in our incomplete state, in our imperfections. God still makes us complete through his blood, through his righteousness. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He values you. He has time for you. He will put his arms around you. He will comfort you. He will cheer you on. He will provide for you. He will help you in times of trouble. He says, call unto me and I will answer. Call unto me. Because you and I, we matter to our God. We matter to our Father. My question is this. Can you see yourself the way your Father sees you? Can you see yourself the way your Heavenly Father sees you? I just want us to pray. Can you see the way? Can you see yourself the way your Father sees you? The psalmist said, God, you knit me together. You put me together. You knew me. Even before I took a breath, you knew me. You already had planned my life before I knew anything about it. God, that is how much you are concerned, how much I matter to you, Father. That's how much I am valued, that you thought of me even before my parents knew me. Before I was put together, Father, you knew me. Let that sink in a bit. Think about that. I thank you, Father, that you called me. Before I knew I even had a call, you called me. Let's not negate what God has already done in our lives. Be thankful this morning. Whatever you have accomplished and achieved, yes, you have had to put some effort into it, but I believe it's God's design and plan coming to pass. I never thought I'd go into nursing, but I did. I never thought it. It never even came into my head. I never thought that God would call me to lead a church. I never thought it. But that was in God's plan. It was already there. And God brought it to pass. Similarly, you might be here and you're saying, whatever that has come your way, God has already purposed it. Be thankful. Be thankful. God hasn't finished with us yet. We are still a work in progress. God has more for us. And that comes through being faithful to what God has called us to do now. Be faithful in the little things. And God will bring the rest. Sometimes I believe that as human beings, we are impatient. We don't want to wait because it's tiring waiting. But God has a season for our lives. God knows the end from where we are now. At this point, God knows. What tomorrow will bring, God knows now. That's why the word says, be content with what you have now. Because our Heavenly Father will see to it that we have whatever we need. God's put value on your life. I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you want to pray it with me, you can do so. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm so glad that you knew me and you called me even before I was conceived in my mother's womb. According to your word, I am no mistake. Therefore, I ask you, God, to help me start looking at my life with respect, look at my life with esteem and with honor. You call me, God, and you have an awesome plan for my life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me uncover that plan so that I can get started on the road of obedience, that I can fulfill that which you brought me into this world for. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might be someone here where you may have heard your parents say you were a mistake. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. But you might be, the enemy will continuously try to remind you, but today, if you're that person, I want you to, in the name of Jesus, declare, I am no accident. I am no mistake. God, you had a plan for my life. My life might be a bit messed up, but it doesn't matter. Because God, your plan, according to your word, shall come to pass. And you know something, church? You and I have to declare that. It's not thinking about it. It's not silently saying something. It is actively confessing and declaring, I am not an accident. I am not a mistake. I have a future. I have a hope. God's got me in His hands. God's got a plan for my life. And it's going to come to pass. It's a plan for a future and a hope. And I'm going to hold on to that plan. Shall we make a declaration right now? Are you ready? I want us to first deal with that situation of accident and mistake. Let's deal with that now and say, I'm not receiving it. In the name of Jesus. Okay, are you ready for this? Let's say it together. I boldly declare that I am no accident and no mistake. God knew me before the earth was created. He called me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And He has long awaited my arrival on this earth. God has a plan for me. I am purposeful. I'm respectful to myself. And I walk in a way that honors the one who called and anointed me and enlisted me in His service. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Church, you and I, we have an identity in Jesus Christ. Let the enemy, don't allow him to steal it. Don't allow him to kill it in our lives, because God has a plan for us. And if we stay in the path and stay in the game, God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. It's not about the past. It's about the now and what is coming. God's in it. Hallelujah. Amen. You bless this morning. You encourage this morning. Can you go out with a spring in your step and a smile on your face saying, I know who I am. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You can be joyful, Lord. You are good and your mercy endure forever. Oh. Lord, you are good and your mercy endure forever. People from every